Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. 15 minutes later, I'm still walking down the street when I saw the shadow of a man creep out of sight. And then he swept up from behind. He put a gun up to my head. He made it clear he wasn't looking for a fight. He said, give me all you got. I want your money, not your life. But if you try to make a move, I won't think twice. I told him, you can have my cash, but first you know I gotta ask, what made you wanna live this kind of life? He said, there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. I got bills to pay, I got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free.
Welcome to Talking Giants, presented by SeatGeek. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Penick. And welcome to draft week, boys and girls. I am pumped. I am excited. I am extremely nervous, Justin. But at the end of the day, I think we are going to draft someone from this episode that we talk about. And I will not be sad that we're going to draft what I believe is a great player. I was sad in January and February and March about how the quarterback situation. I'm not going to be sad the moment the Giants draft what I think is a great player.
No, I'm with you, man. I really do believe that we are going to be talking about a player Thursday night, Friday morning, when it's in your ears, when it's on your screens, that one of the players that we talk about today will be a New York football Giant, and that will very much improve the team right now. I'm very convinced, man. Happy draft week. Happy draft week. We've made it. We did it. All the months of preparing for this week and then for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Started at Mobile, Alabama. It always starts in Mobile, Alabama, late January.
Oh, it starts in June with the way too early draft.
You know what? That's
we talked about four of these eight guys on that episode. We went so wide receiver heavy.
It's very true. Very true. So it starts a little bit earlier than I even think. So I'm really excited, man. I'm ready for the Giants to get better as a football team. Every year we say how the draft is important for this particular football team. And this year certainly does not change it. Bobby, I want to run through the schedule really quick, our schedule, so people know what's coming.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like sometimes we do so much and we, you know, oh, well, screw it. We're just going to go live. We'll do it live. We're going to do it now. I want people to know what's coming up. So Tuesday night.
Main thing is being live for every second of the draft. And because the Giants pick at 6, we will be going live about an hour before the first round. So we'll have a good couple hours before we make that pick to get anxious and get nervous. And then all of day 2 and then all of day 3. We're live for, I think, over 7 hours on day 3. No 7th round picks this year for the Giants too, Justin. So we can just... That's when we can get a little wonky in the 7th round when we don't have those 7th round picks.
We'll play some darts in the live stream lounge. But we're going to be doing a lot before we get to Thursday night to begin with. So Tuesday night, Bobby's still going to be in Florida, and then I'll be home. We're going to do a very chill, very low-key Talking Giants live stream on YouTube that will not be on the podcast apps. But we'll do a Talking Giants live stream on Tuesday night. And then Wednesday at 4:30 p.m. on YouTube, Bobby and I will be doing... together, our Giants only mock draft. All 6 rounds, Bobby's last mock draft, my one and only Giants mock draft. We'll be doing that live 4:30 p.m. together, live in the Manhattan studios at John Boy Media. Thursday, during the day, Bobby and I will be live on JM Football for about an hour or so. Not a Football Today vehicle, but we'll just be live, hanging out, talking about the first round, what we expect around the league. So subscribe to JM Football. And then Thursday night, obviously the first round draft stream. Then Bobby and I will record a first round recap that will be in your ears late Thursday night, early Friday morning. That'll be on the podcast apps and everything like that. And then Friday morning, we'll be recording a Football Today episode, either live streaming it or we'll be recording it, and it will be released early Friday morning if you want to hear our thoughts and our reactions around the NFL. So Football Today, Talking Giants on YouTube. You know where to find us. Ron,
film breakdowns on every drafted Giants player, yes. Some UDFAs. The main thing, since we're doing this before, because we'll get an influx of some newer people this week. So for the people who have been around for a while, or you've been around for, you know, you joined us in draft month. That happens quite a bit. The full draft recap that will come out next Monday, That is the episode I want you to share with your friends and family. That episode is, it is the second most important episode every year for us after the week one game. So,
I wanted to break our record of Giants of Cowboys 40, Giants 0 as our most listened to episode ever.
Yeah, and I think that will happen with the Giants picking so high. So very, very excited for all of it. So we'll be hitting it on socials at every angle. Justin, the people who make this possible are some very, very special people. We've got, pull back up. And then I want to talk about just wide receivers in general before we get into each player individually. We got Gabriel Caldera. My friend's son is named Gabriel. I don't think you're related, though. Matt Fusco is from the World Beater, too. Thank you. Thank you, Matthias. Daniel Murray. Doesn't he play for the Mets? Peter Lynch. Doesn't he play for the Broncos? Christopher King. Doesn't he play for Danny King's football team, Ithaca? Oh, there's going to be a special announcement on day two of the draft about Danny King.
Yes.
Jeffrey Zada, the giraffe. He's not related to the giraffe. Cade Hambright, who's got the Daniel Jones profile picture. And then Mike English, who, believe it or not, does not speak any English. Justin, who are these people?
These wonderful people went to patreon.com/talkinggiants. It's going to be really tough to not spoil Danny King's special announcement on night one's NFL draft stream. So if you hear me going in that direction, you have to scream and interrupt me. Patreon.com/talkinggiants to get to hang out with us live while we record the shows. Hey, if you're going to be up Thursday night, you're all jazzed up about the Giants draft pick, either out of anger or out of excitement, you get to hear us talk about it first. Patreon.com/talkinggiants. Bobby sending you some stickers in the mail when he gets back down to Florida. And then there's a couple shirt raffles a couple times a month. Patreon.com/talkinggiants.
Let's get some guesses on what Danny King's big announcement is.
Yeah.
All I'm going to say is we're very proud of him.
Very proud.
Proud. A lot of pride in Danny King. Let's talk about these wide receivers, Justin. But before we get into these guys individually, obviously me and you, since the Raiders game, we were thinking of drafting a quarterback, right? And Caleb Williams and Drake May were the ones that popped out at you. Jaden Daniels, as his season progressed, you know, I watched a little bit of his games in season, and I'm like, I like this guy. I think he's really talented. And even J.J. McCarthy, Justin, it looks like the Giants would have to trade up to get him. Somebody's probably going to trade up for J.J. McCarthy. So the Giants are landing on wide receiver. But for a team that's not picking, probably not going to pick a quarterback, this is a great situation with this wide receiver class where you have three studs, you know, at the top. Like this is a very good class outside of quarterback for first round talent, and the Giants get the pick at the top of it. And hopefully they can come away with a star player who I think these guys should be. I think all three of these guys are 1,000 yard or the top three guys in Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Romo Dunze are 1,000 yard receivers right away, no matter who the quarterback is.
Yeah, man, and I'll go as far to say this. Now, I have this note for Marvin Harrison Jr. I went back towards like the last 10 years, maybe even back to 2012, which is 12 years ago, where I'm like, when's the last time that the Giants receivers got over 140 targets? Odell got 169 targets in 2016. He also got over 140 in 2015 as well. I think he fell short of it in 2014. That's his rookie year. He was hurt. And then Cruz was the last receiver in 2012. He got 143 targets. And you just think about it, Bobby. There were 12 wide receivers last year that got at least 140 targets. CeeDee Lamb was leading with 181. Now there's an additional game now. NFL teams, they're throwing a lot more, you know, especially I feel like they're relying on these wide receiver ones a whole lot more. Bobby, the Giants just haven't had, like, the offensive coach that Brian Daboll is, number one. And then number two, just that reliable alpha number one. It's been a very, very long time, and Odell Beckham Jr., and even before that, Victor Cruz, and that was still just so short-lived, and he was living in the slot. So, like, I'm not hesitating if we draft any of these three guys, and this is regardless of the quarterback. 140 is maybe a little rich, but 130, 120 targets, I'm expecting that guy to get that amount of volume, that amount of targets, and hopefully make this Giants offense at least an average passing offense.
I think all three of these guys should be competing for offensive rookie of the year if quarterback, if there's not a quarterback who has a great rookie season. So yeah, I'm gonna be happy about that pick, right? Like, don't have a chance at Drake May, most likely. Definitely don't have a chance at Caleb, and most likely don't have a chance at Jaden Daniels. You guys know where I stand on JJ McCarthy. I would pick all three of these wide receivers over JJ McCarthy. I just would not pick him at pick six. And it's important to add good, great players to a roster, even if they don't have a quarterback. And they will put up numbers. You know, like, Justin, I saw you tweeted about, like, man, would be sick to have Malik Nabers, and a lot are like, ah, the quarterback, the quarterback. Like, and then here's an argument that I've been seeing a good bit, and I feel like it's so disingenuous. The whole Jalen Hyatt won wide receiver of the year in college, and look at what he did in year one because of Daniel Jones. Well, first things first, Daniel Jones didn't even play half the season. And the games where he did play is when Jalen Hyatt was not even in a starter role quite yet. The most disingenuous part of that is that Jalen Hyatt is in the level of these three players. Jalen Hyatt was the 10th wide receiver picked in a weak wide receiver draft class in the third round. Jalen Hyatt, Brian Daboll didn't even really trust him besides to be more than like an alert route. Like, he was almost never part of the 1-2-3 part of the progression. It was very much like, hey, if you got to look pre-snap, we'll throw it to him deep, right? But as far as just regular plays, really not in the front of the progression, because Jalen Hyatt has a lot to work on. Now, he's an awesome talent. That speed cannot be teached, and there should be a lot of hope for Jalen Hyatt. But the idea that the pick of Jalen Hyatt should stop you from taking one of these three guys is insane.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people are thinking that. I think a lot of people are just way more blindsided to the fact that the Giants need a quarterback. But the fact of the matter is that I don't think that quarterback is going to be there, and I don't think the right quarterback is going to be there. And to suggest that, oh, well, who's going to throw him the ball, and oh, well, who's going to okay, sure, you can have those critiques and you can have those questions, but to dismiss taking a Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., or Romo Odunze as bad process, and to add the Giants need stars, and to dismiss adding a possible star onto this team as bad process because they need a quarterback, and it's just another wasted year of everybody, that is not true. That is not true. The Giants need a lot more than just a quarterback, and a wide receiver one, if they can grab that guy at six, will go a long way.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that the Giants aren't in a position to get a real franchise quarterback, not just taking a quarterback for the sake of it. But they should continue to build the roster until they're in that situation. Is there a guarantee that they'll be there in the next 2-3 years? No, there is. It is not. And that is part where the NFL can be a little bit about luck, and losing at the right time and winning at the right time, and having, you know, teams willing to trade up and trade down. Like, yes, it is unfortunate. Do I think the Giants are a Super Bowl contender in the next 2 years? Absolutely not. But I'm not going to pass up on a great player because I want to force Mac Jones, or I want to force Kenny Pickett, or, you know, I want to force whatever quarterback that you don't really think that's good, but you're trying to convince yourself because you want a quarterback so badly. So Justin, let's kick it off with Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, this guy's been wide receiver one for a few years now. Have you even thought about him being on the New York Giants? Because it hasn't been until like the last week that it's hit me that like there's an actual scenario where he could be on the New York Giants, where it's the Vikings trade up to 4, draft a quarterback, and the Chargers are dead set on picking an offensive lineman, and Marvin Harrison Jr. is a New York Giant. I still don't think it would happen. I don't think the Chargers are as locked into offensive line as some may think. And if they are, I think there would be a team willing to trade up to get Marvin Harrison Jr. So I don't think it's possible, or I don't think it's realistic, but it's kind of possible.
Or I didn't even think about the offensive lineman. I just thought, does a team like Romo Odunze or Malik Nabers more? Like, you know, we know that Ortiz, who he was with the Ravens, they evaluate wide receivers interesting. they don't evaluate them well. Do the Chargers, like, this would be a real curveball, and I do not see this happening. Do the Chargers go like a Rome because he's a lunch pail guy, he's going to show up to work every day, he blocks well, and blah, 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 doesn't take plays off, and then, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. just falls to 6. That's like something that I've thought of. Not necessarily they go the offensive lineman route, but yeah, it's something that it's creeped into my mind for sure.
Yeah, but with Marvin Harrison Jr., I mean, 6'3", just the total package, right? You know, 2,400 yards and 28 touchdowns the last two seasons for Ohio State. And, like there's really not much like, the only negative for him, he had some drops this year, which is, like, figure that out. But he's, like, a great catcher of the football at the same time, too, is that he's not, like, the explosive athlete that Malik Nabers is, right? But everything else is so good. Like, and he's not slow, right? He's
no.
He is explosive. He's just not the explosive threat that a Malik Nabers is in the open field or, you know, pushing the ball down the field. But he gets open consistently deep, and his route running is, like, it's almost perfect, right? Like, his route running is so developed, and it's been that way for some time, right? And when you talk to college players and stuff, and you look at other corners who come out in the years last, and it's like, yeah, good, except for when he was playing Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, this guy has basically owned everybody that he's went across from. And to me, is the best, like, I love Ja'Marr Chase since we've been doing this. And I would take Marvin Harrison Jr. over Ja'Marr Chase, who was my favorite wide receiver since we've been doing this. And I'm trying to think of it as casual. Has there been a wide receiver since Calvin Johnson who, like, you viewed this highly?
No, I mean, I can't go as far back to Calvin Johnson, but I mean, the thing with Ja'Marr Chase is that he was coming off an off year, so there was questions of, okay, well, he's coming off the COVID year and the off year, and is he going to be ready to go? And, like, hell yeah, he was ready to go. Basically, everybody that took that year off was ready to go. But, man, yeah, third on the consensus board, second on Brugler's board. He's 21, going to be 22 in August. The way he releases, he immediately gains an advantage. I mean, it's already elite, and it's every play where he just gains that advantage at the line of scrimmage. You know, usually you see receivers have one or the other, right? Oh, this guy's a speed guy, right? He's a speed and they create separation. Or, oh, he's big and can create contested catches. Like, they have their trump card. Marvin Harrison, it's both. He can do both of those things. A guy that even when he's covered, he's open, but he also can create 5 yards of separation on deep and intermediate routes. And the way that he can sell where he's going to go, he has such good routes. You can go on and on about how this guy's going to be a weapon at every single level of the field in the red zone on third down, first down, you name it. And I think this is a guy where you're not going to blink giving him 140 targets his rookie year. You're not going to blink.
Yeah, he's the kind of wide receiver you trust to do anything. And there's plays where you're like, we are simply throwing the ball to him. If he is not double teamed, we are throwing the ball to him. He is someone who gets you out of third and tens and third and 11s. He is a special type of player. Justin, I like Marvin Harrison Jr. so much that if Jaden Daniels fell to 6 and we drafted Jaden Daniels while Marvin Harrison Jr. was on the board, there would be, like, hesitation in my mind. I'd be like, this is good process. He's got talent. He's got all this ability. Giants need a quarterback. But in the part of my mind, I'd be like, I don't know if Jaden Daniels is going to be good, and I know for a fact that this guy's going to be good. Now, when it comes down to it, I would take Jaden Daniels over Marvin Harrison.
You would?
Jaden Daniels?
I don't know where... You said you would take Jaden Daniels over Marvin Harrison?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
I mean, Jaden Daniels has a ton of talent. You have a good quarterback, you know, coach, offensive coaching system around him.
Do you view Marvin Harrison Jr.? This is a really loaded question pre-draft, and I don't think we throw this around often. Do you view Marvin Harrison Jr. as a possible Hall of Fame player?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, it's very hard for wide receiver, and it's unfair to put these types of expectations on any type of player, right? Like, because it's so hard to live up to them, even if they end up being really good players. But, like, he's... Like, the only thing that I think could hold him back are injuries. Like, I think he's that special. I know it sounds like hyperbole, but, like, he is... Anytime you watch him, you're just amazed. Like, every play, you just watch him. Like, this is flat out amazing. All right, Justin. Let's talk about the next two guys. And Malik Nabers and then Romo Dunze.
Yeah, excited to spend more time talking about Marvin Harrison Jr.'s actual game when the Giants draft him.
Yeah.
He's good. We know he's good.
Yeah. Like, do I need to get a Marvin Harrison Jr. film breakdown done? I'd be the only negative of drafting Marvin Harrison Jr. It's like I didn't get a film breakdown.
Damn, gotta stay up till 2 a.m. doing a Marvin Harrison Jr. film.
Be the easiest one ever, though.
Damn.
Malik Nabers, Justin. This is the guy that I've been mocking to the Giants consistently. It's probably who I will mock to them next week or this week when we do our final episodes. And this is the guy who I believe will be a New York Giant on Thursday night with Malik Nabers, who had almost 1,600 yards this past year, 14 touchdowns on an almost 70% catch rate. I mean, this guy's just extremely gifted, who challenges you at all three levels with every single route. Right, like you have the speed that's great and effortless to get the top speed, tack you the deep threat. He consistently can take short passes and turn them into 50, 60 yarder yak plays. And then as far as like the full route tree, like he does it well. Like he uses stutter, foot jabs, head fakes, like and they look really good. Like the things that he needs to fix are so fixable. Like I think he needs to be crisper, flattening out like his digs and out routes, right? Those in breakers, just flattening them out a little bit, and then can somewhat struggle to stack versus press coverage. But man, this guy is someone who, again, you just get the ball in his hands and he could change the game for you.
Yeah, Malik Nabers, he's fifth on the consensus board, third on Brugger's board. He's 20, he's turning 21 in July. He's one of the youngest players in the draft. Dude, he's so slippery and has such a great feel for yak, and his long speed paired with this change in direction and quickness, it's all elite. He's first in yards per route run among draft eligible players. And thinking of Hyatt and Nabers, this is my tweet that I had late Saturday night. Thinking of Hyatt and Nabers running vertical routes with good sell on opposite sides of the field makes me very, very excited, regardless of who's throwing the football, because it'll be kind of tough to not get the ball to him. He's able to change and alter his speed to throw defenders off and gain an advantage. Pretty low drop rate, 5.3% drop rate this past year. 30 missed tackles forced, and he was fourth in the nation this year at doing so. Second in deep catches, third in deep yards. Basically, Bobby, here's what it comes down to. Yeah, I agree with you. There are some things that he needs to work on, but I view the ceiling of Malik Nabers. You know, there's even an argument that because of his athleticism and because of the yards after the catch ability, that in the right situation, that Nabers may have just as high of a ceiling, if not slightly higher than Marvin Harrison Jr. There's an argument to be made. I'm not going to sit here and say it, but because of his athleticism, because of what he could do with the ball in his hands after the catch, that's why I think Nabers, when Marvin Harrison Jr. is not off the board, Nabers is Brian Daboll's number one. Nabers is Joe Shane's number one, looking at the athleticism, looking at things that they like, looking at the kind of offense that the Giants want to try and have that is vertical based, but they haven't had the personnel nor the quarterback to do it the last couple years. Had at least one 20 plus yard play in every game in 2023, and 78% of his catches either resulted in a first down or a touchdown. This dude is everything that we want this offense to be and everything you want in a modern explosive offense to be.
Yeah, he challenges at all three levels, right? And that makes him quarterback proof. Like if you're working quick game, he's going to do that. If you're wanting to hit, you know, some intermediate stuff, zone beaters, he's going to do that. Put him deep, he's going to win like that, right? And that's why Jaden Daniels was able to be so efficient throwing the ball deep. Brian Thomas Jr. helps too, but Malik Nabers was obviously the alpha on that offense.
I finally got your point, by the way. You know, now that I watched every target that went Malik Nabers' way. Damn, Jaden Daniels did miss him a little bit. And it was kind of frustrating at times where, you know, Nabers could have had some better production if Jaden Daniels hits him when he's wide open or hits him a little bit better where he can get yards after the catch and stuff like that.
Yeah, imagine a guy who had 1,600 yards in 13 games, like his quarterback, who's projected to go second overall, left some plays on the board for him.
Yeah, he did.
You know, and then got the touchdown production to go with it this year where he only had three in 2022. Had 1,000 yards, but had the 14 touchdowns this year. Like, and another negative is like there's sometimes when he slips.
Okay.
Which is like when we're talking about prospects, if that's like the third negative bullet point, I feel like you're kind of reaching for something because he does so good. I mean, he has such good contact balance running through bad tackle attempts. And he's just got that plant and go ability. Justin, let's talk about Odunze and then I want to talk about them together.
Together, yeah.
Odunze is the other one. 6'3", 200 pounds, right? Actually, I might, let me, let me make sure that's exactly right, because I did this profile. 212,
you said?
I did this profile before the combine, so I have might have the wrong height weight. What's the height weight on him?
I don't have the height weight, but I think he is 212. 6'2", 6'3"?
6'3". Come on. Pull up NFL.com so I can get this free credit. 6'3", 212. Okay.
Oh, good job. Memorized.
Another guy who, Justin, can win. He makes plays at all three levels of the field. It's different than Malik Nabers and even Marvin Harrison Jr., but he can win at all three levels of the field. I think the thing that keeps him from being, makes him the third guy in this, is that he's simply just not the explosive athlete that Malik Nabers is, right? His speed is very good, but it's just not the elite. And he's a yak threat, but like his contact balance is just good, right? He's not really making you miss the same way a Malik Nabers will. But man, he does every part of route running. Like, he does that all really well. Like, he's able to separate deep. I think he needs to stack win within 10 yards, right? Because he doesn't have that elite speed. But he does that pretty consistently. And he's just a smooth mover, right? And his route running is pretty with, you know, quick foot fire, you know, those like deadly transitions at the top of the route. And he has the contested catch ability, right? Which I think some people hold against him. Like, oh, he's a contested catch guy. No. There was just times where he was put in contested catch situations. Like, he is someone who does separate and will separate at the NFL level. But he was, you know, the way Washington pushed the ball downfield so much, he was put in those situations, sometimes the ball underthrown. But he was able to separate deep fairly consistently. So this is another guy who, like, I'm thrilled to pick him.
Yeah, even, you know, you mentioned Washington's offense. I got like Tennessee vibes from him, where I'm kind of just watching and being like, can we stop running a track meet so I can see what else these receivers can do? It's fun, but you're going to be doing more at the NFL than just catching these deep balls and running straight. So, yeah, Romo Dunze, like, consensus 6 and Brugler 7. 21, he's turning 22 in June. So, again, all three of these guys are young. It seems like a lunch pail dude, where he's going to show up to work every day, ready to go. And ready to go to work. And I think he can. I think that's even reported in his blocking ability and how he's not going to be taking any plays off. He's 7th in yards per route run out of draft eligible players. 15.5 average depth of target yards. Average depth of target. That's 6th in this class. Led the nation in deep catches and deep yards. Again, track meet offense. I think he's. I wrote down limited yards after the catch, but that's after watching Malik Nabers, and I feel like that's not. That's not fully fair, but also I think it's the offense. You know, when you're when you're targeted 15.5 yards down the field, your yards after the catch options are
they would get limited. Him involved in some screen game stuff when he does well. Like you said, he's not Malik Nabers, but he is, like, I have one of my notes is true yak threat, but contact balance is just good. Like, yeah. So it's not Malik Nabers type of stuff.
Yeah. 3.2% drop rate, so he does not drop passes. 14 missed tackles forced, I think is solid. Like that's where I look at it. Bobby, when I saw the 14 missed tackles for, so it's like, all right, well, I could see that there's a path to you being good after the catch, because even with that high average up the target, you forced 14 missed tackles, which is good. Long, it could go up and get it. So I kind of like that balance of, hey, you can get open, but also you can go up and you can get it too. He flashes his hands late to the cornerback, so they can't really get a read on when the ball's arriving. Rare size, strength, and speed combo for a wide receiver in today's game. Bobby, I was going to say something, and now I forgot. Oh, he apparently suffered a broken rib and punctured lung in September of 2023 and played through it and had a really, really good season. Oh, and also, you mentioned, we were talking about like last year's wide receiver class. He's number one by far in last year's class, right? Like, I don't want to seem like us having him as 3 is like a referendum on him, because if you put him in last year's class, he's clearly number one, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm going to pull up the NFL, the 2023 NFL draft results, just to see where he would have went in that draft, because just the first round talent is better this year than it was last year, too. So, like, the quarterbacks go 1-2. Will Anderson, I still think, would go 3. Anthony Richardson goes 4. I mean, maybe Seattle doesn't pick him because of their... They took a wide receiver in the first round, though.
They did.
Like, he doesn't go below 6.
Who went 6 last year?
Maybe the Cardinals are really, they did really want an offensive tackle. But he's going in the top 10. I guess we could leave it at that.
Yeah.
So I want to pose this to you. Quarterback goes 4. Marvin Harrison Jr. goes 5. Malik Nabers is on the board. The Giants select Romo Dunes. What is your reaction? Because I think Malik Nabers is a better player than O'Dunes, and I usually would stand strong on this. I would be okay with it. And there is one... A couple reasons.
And I'll tell you my reaction. It's the Giants don't fully trust that Odunze is going to show up to work every day, be ready, and work hard. Where Odunze, I think, based on at least the reports out there and the leadership qualities that's been reported and shit like that, Odunze is already that guy versus Nabers. I do have some questions on some stuff that is not kind of related to football.
So with Nabers, and this is the thing, is he was arrested for having a gun. And I think in New Orleans, a police officer saw it in his waistband. It wasn't legal for him to have it, so he got arrested. They didn't file charges, though. When you read the story, it very much sounds like great LSU player got off the hook because he didn't have anything prior. It literally referenced him being an LSU student. I don't know how many students are getting off. And then you hear like other little whispers of like maybe a little bit of the pain in the ass type of stuff. So yeah, like that would be like, hey, like you said, the Giants didn't have that type of trust and love. And every year, whenever stuff like this comes out, everyone goes, no big deal, no big deal, no big deal. And then you get 3-4 years into their career and the guy either is in legal trouble or just a pain in the ass. And I would put it to you this way, because I'm going to pull two guys from the same draft, Justin. Because one guy's first 5 years were much better, despite the other guys being really good. Because we don't know, right? We're only reading reports and stuff.
Right, right.
But if you are in the know, would you rather draft Odell Beckham Jr. or Mike Evans? One's peak was much higher, but another one is still producing and has been with one team for that long.
Mike Evans is a Hall of Famer, and Odell Beckham Jr. should have been a Hall of Famer.
Yes. But he also, got traded away from his team. Now, you may not like that or agree with that, but it is the reality of what happened. Now, I think I would still go Nabers because the hope is to eventually be winning games, and if you're winning games, it works out. And also, I think he's going to be good enough that even if it goes bad, guess what you can do, Justin? Trade him for first round picks, like possibly even 2, like a minimum of 1 if he's like the player that I think that he is. So I would still take Nabers. The red flag stuff hasn't been loud, right? It's there. It's not there with Odunze, so that could be a tiebreaker, but it's not loud enough to where I'm like, ooh, don't take this guy. But it is in the back of my head for the next 4 years.
Yeah, I agree with you. But if that's why the Giants pass on him, that's where my brain goes to. It's not outrage. It's, yeah, man, there's just information that they have that this guy is safer and this guy is more worth it than Nabers. Because really, on paper, Malik Nabers is the Giants guy. Between the athleticism, we know how much they
fit with Brian Daboll.
We know how much they value that kind of stuff. Not to say that Odunze is not a fit. It's just that Nabers is such a better fit for what Brian Daboll's trying to do. So that would be where my brain would first go to. But I don't have that information. I don't have access to it. And I guess, a misdemeanor charge that's dropped isn't going to convince me enough. Really, it's not even the misdemeanor charge that's dropped. It is the whispers of, is this guy a pain in the ass? Is he going to show up to work every day and want to get better at a young age of 20, 21 years old? That's the thing that I want to know, So, because that's the stuff that matters kind of more in a football sense.
Yeah. So like my reaction is, and I hate this reaction because it drives me nuts when people tell us to do it, when it's like, well, this is a show where we have opinions and we say our opinions, like you just got to trust them. Like, no, you don't just have to trust them. But I feel like, If Odunze, like, I would trust them
in this context.
Like, if the Giants draft J.J. McCarthy over these wide receivers, like, everyone would be like, you got to trust him. Nope. They went and got their guy. I'm like, sorry, I don't. I think they're desperate. I am trusting that they were desperate. And now I am hoping that J.J. McCarthy is good. if they draft Odunze over Neighbors, I am trusting them in that process. Because I don't think it's a, I think it's actually a less desperate move. I think it'd be like, hey, this is our process. So have you thought about, like, if the Giants draft JJ McCarthy?
No.
I have.
Not in a while.
Yeah. I think we're going to get one of these three guys we just talked about. But, Justin, if they somehow do pull off a quarterback, or if they don't, there's going to be other wide receivers that we will shift our focus to. But first, why don't you talk to us about something?
I'll talk to you about something. I'll talk to you about DraftKings. Oh, well, DraftKings is getting a little kooky with this ad read. The 82.
Whoa, do they have a DraftKings NASCAR that I'm holding up in my hand right now? Shout out, Bubba Wallace.
He wrecked today, unfortunately, yesterday.
But DraftKings doesn't wreck.
The 82-game preseason, hello, is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Defense. Defense. That's the heartbeat of New York at the Garden. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting odds boosts, and so much more. Defense. Defense. Heartbeat of New York. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code WORLD. How are the Magic doing? New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly.
Shit.
That's code WORLD. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in West Virginia. Visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. Bobby Skinner, you'll be glad you did.
Did you see Jordan Renange's tweets about Knicks fans?
Yeah, come on, man. What are you doing? Like, this is fucking. Did you see what they did a couple years ago when they beat Trae Young?
That's the part of it where he kind of does have a point. It's like, you just did this 2 years ago and it bit you in the ass a little bit. But at the same time, it's like, you know what? Who cares about social media? Have fun. Go into your game and enjoy. Like, do not live your life as a fan worried about, like, you know, Sixers fans or whatever, like, you know, dunking on your tweets. Like, do not let Twitter affect your sports fandom, because some Sixers muse is going to be in your mentions.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Pile onto New Jersey Transit and sniff somebody
now,
else's
part
armpit?
Of me, I will be there. Like, I will be there no matter what, enjoying if it does happen. It is another Atlanta Hawks situation. But here's the thing. I got the worst playoff matchup in the first round ever because I hate the Knicks, but I hate the Sixers, and specifically Joel Embiid so much more. Like, he's my most hated athlete, active athlete, is Joel Embiid. So,
go Knicks.
Let's talk about some other wide receivers.
Oh, by the way, can we have a mini conversation? We'll be quick with this.
Yeah,
I think the Giants have had one top 30 visit with the wide receiver that isn't the big three. I think, and it's like a small school guy who I just sent you the screenshot of it today that we just found out. I don't think they're taking a wide receiver in the draft besides first round.
And there's two ways to look at it, right? Is that they pretty much know they're taking a wide receiver in the first round. The other way is, like, now you don't draft for need, right? If you're in the third round and you have a wide receiver who you view as best player available, I would take him. But at the same time, Justin, the last thing this team needs is another wide receiver two or three or slot wide receiver. Like, if they are addressing wide receiver, it should be someone who you believe is going to be a wide receiver one. Like, X, go out there, win down in, down out, beat press, get open at all three levels. Like, that's the least of their needs. Like, if they draft one in the first round, we're like, okay, which talented wide receiver 2-3 type player is going to the bench? And, you know, talking about trading guys and stuff like that. So
now I'll push back there. With you, and we were texting about this. Darius Slayton's not going to be here forever, and he's your wide receiver two right now.
One.
Well, how do you like that? I'm already implying that the guy at six is wide receiver one. How do you like that? So Darius Slayton is wide receiver one/two right now, and as like Isaiah Hodgins is your backup off the bench, right? You know, or Hyatt's your first backup off the bench if you're running 11 personnel. So those guys aren't going to be here forever. Slayton has one more year left, and he may feel a certain type of way after not getting a new deal. And also, if you draft a wide receiver, there may not be a need for Darius Slayton with Jalin Hyatt on the opposite side, plus Wandell Robinson. There may not be a need for Darius Slayton to spend that money, which there's a case for that. So that's the only reason why I push back, where it, especially at pick 47, where I feel a lot more comfortable going wide receiver at pick 47 versus the other options that may be available, where like, that guy's a reach, a lot of guys on the board that maybe you don't like the value at 47 versus wide receiver at 47, like a Roman Wilson and Xavier Worthy, you know, if some other guys fall, that I would welcome that. But if you're taking wide receiver at 6, doubling up, that is where it gets redundant.
Yeah. But hey, there's like taking a, like, well, we'll save it if it just happens.
We'll save
like
it.
I never get mad at a team for doubling up at positions, right? Like, how could the Ravens fucking draft Mark Andrews? They drafted Hayden Hurst in the first round. How did that work out? Like, a lot of times you look at the teams that double up at positions and like, oh, the guy that was picked second ends up being, you know, Pro Bowl, all pro player. Like, that was my draft day speech a couple years ago with the Colts when I looked at back at that Colts 2018 class. It's like they had 10 picks. They drafted 4 positions. But like, they're all like half of them are studs. But let's talk about Xavier Worthy, Justin. And this was my guy. And then I watched this 2023 film and I thought some worries showed up that didn't show up as much in 2022. And that's Xavier Worthy out of Texas. 5'11", 165 pounds. That's a worry. He broke our boy, John Ross's record. Can I get in John Ross? I wanted that 40 record to live forever. But he did break it with a 4.21. Then he had a 41-inch vertical jump. You know, he was the, you know, everyone talked about A.D. Mitchell as a first round. Worthy was the 1,000-yard receiver on that team. I mean, this guy is just elite speed, right? And we knew this before the 40 time, Justin. Just eats up cushion, gets past it, and has the ability to stop on a dime. And he's like an actual route runner. Like, when you get him free, Justin, he is an actual route runner, using speed cuts, using, you know, foot jabs and head fakes. Now, he had a limited route tree at Texas, but he did it pretty damn well. But here's some of the things that bothered me watching him in 2023. He faced a little more press. He struggled with that pretty mightily. You know, not as bad as, like, I think Jalin Hyatt would. But, like, he did struggle with that. There's some lazy routes when he's not the front of the progression that I thought showed up. And the drops weren't as bad this year, but they, you know, he has had drops and he's kind of hit or miss in contested spots, but he can go up and leap and make those plays too. So I view him as a late first round talent, Justin, but his 2022 film had me a lot more confident and worthy than the 2023 film.
Yeah, he's 35th on the consensus board and he's 50th on Brugler's. He's going to be 21 on April 27th, so he's super young. Didn't miss a game in 3 seasons, so he's dependable there. But obviously, you're worried about the frame, you know, just him being so light playing at the NFL. So you're still worried about durability there. But it's a good sign that he didn't miss any game, you know, didn't miss a game in 3 seasons. Fastest 40 ever at the combine. Dangerous punt returner as well. I mean, unreal quickness, speed, acceleration, and change of direction.
He knows how to use it.
I think if he could fight through press and maybe tempo his routes, I think he can be a dangerous player. But, like, you know, is the ceiling like Tank Dell? Is the ceiling DeSean Jackson? Do you see that in Xavier Worthy? Do you see the same type of route runner as Tank Dell?
Like, he can actually run routes, right? And that's why I liked him. It's like, this guy's not just fast. He can actually run routes. You know, so you're going to have to, you know, get a little creative with him, put him in motion. You know, you don't want him, you know, getting pressed up all the time. But I viewed him originally as like a wide receiver one. He may just be a high-end wide receiver too, but I think he's going to get production at the NFL level pretty consistently and is going to be viewed pretty highly. It's just he's not your line up and go type of player either. I still really like Xavier Worthy, but I didn't like him as much as I had thought I would after watching him last summer. Like, last summer, I kind of like, this guy might be a top 20 pick. Now I'm like top 30, right? Yeah. Which is not much of a drop-off, but it is a little bit of a drop-off.
5 for 21 on contested catches in 2023. And this is the big thing for me. You mentioned how his 2022 tape is better than his 2023 tape. Had more 100 receiving yard games as a freshman than his sophomore and junior years, where he had four as a freshman and then three combined in his sophomore and junior year. And I am not a fan. Like, I am not a fan of not seeing gradual growth as time goes on. I don't even care if there's one point where that you're bad. Like, even like there's a guy like Xavier Leggett, who maybe you can use that as like a downside for him, but he didn't have a lot of production, and he really wasn't even a full-time starter for the first couple years of his career at South Carolina. But he got better, and when he got his opportunity, he got better, right? I don't like seeing the regression. There's the word. And I asked, do you see that he takes plays off? I'm glad that you already confirmed that. 37 out of his 75 catches were either on a screen or a hitch. I do think he is deadly on those hitches where he can just make quick cuts, go to the sideline. I think he's going to be a real weapon at that, especially if you're playing off and you're giving him cushion. All he's got to do is make a quick turn to the sideline. That's an easy 10 yards, right? 26 in yards per route run. So not great, but I am an Xavier worthy fan. I think there's a path.
Yes. So we have four more guys left, Justin. So we'll have to go a little quick through it.
Yeah, I don't think the Giants are drafting any of them.
There's one that I would love to, especially if he somehow was there in the third round. So we have four guys left. We have Javon Baker, Keon Coleman, Xavier Leggett, and Jalen Polk. I want to ask you, how would you rank those four?
Even though I am hesitant on this, I would go Leggett first, even though I don't love him, but the athleticism and upside. Then I would go Baker. Then I would go Polk, and then Coleman.
So I would go Javon Baker 1.
Yeah.
Leggett 2.
Yeah.
Coleman 3.
And then Polk 4. Okay.
Now, Coleman's the one I worry about I guess I worry about both Coleman and Leggett a little bit, but
for like similar reasons.
I don't want to watch Leggett. Just here, let's talk about Leggett first, since I'm talking about this. So, with Leggett's profile, like, you know, the 1 year production, and again, like after 4 years of college, like, you know, like, what's the note I have on him? I have it right here that he had a 1,200 yards this last year. The four seasons combined before that, he had 423 yards. Like, that's a bad sign. You know, he's a bigger guy, and I think he's kind of stiff as a runner too. But you watch the film, and it's good, right? Like, he's got the long speed. It's good, allows him to separate, right? Like, his acceleration is pretty solid. He goes and makes these, like, floating through the air types of catches, and he can be a halfway decent route runner. But the things that worry me, like I said, the one-year production, I think he's stiff. And I think his routes are only run at like one speed. Like, he doesn't have a good bunch of tempo
right. And
stuff, but he has like snappy breaks and like pretty quick transitions for being as stiff as he is. I kind of view him as a Michael Gallup, which is a good player, but like, I do have worries about him.
Yeah, he's 50th on the consensus.
He looks huge out there too, by the way.
He is huge.
I can't believe he's only 6 foot. I mean, he weighs 220, but like, I thought he was 6'3" watching his film.
No, he's in the 90th percentile in weight at 221 pounds. But he's also he ran a 4.39 40. So that's in the around the 85th percentile as well. So, I mean, he's a freak athlete. 50 on the consensus board, and he's 76th on Brugler's board. He's 23 years old. He's a spectacular catch expert, but he had two drops, 2.7% drop rate, which is insane. It's very, very low. Fifth in yards per route run. Has the size to be a really good blocker as well, if that's something that you care about, and you should care about that for wide receivers. I think he brings physicality to every aspect of the game. Here's the worry, though. It's like, it's the classic tales old as time as contested catch guys versus separation guys. You know, there are some offenses, you know, hey, like I think of the Pittsburgh Steelers, where like, hey, we're just gonna throw the ball off to George Pickens and we're gonna see what happens, and that's great.
I mean, he truly reminds me of Michael Gallup. Right, where he's not like this yak threat, he's not like elusive, but he can win vertically, he can make really nice catches, and he can kind of stop on a dime to run the hitches and stuff.
Yeah.
And he can box out and win those types of plays. So I think he's someone that you kind of are using outside the numbers, but I think could be a productive guy who gets a year or two at 1,000 yards.
Yeah. He was 15 for 18, 437 yards and two touchdowns on crossing routes, and that's plus-plus for the Giants. We know Dable likes to use those, man coverage beaters.
Yeah, a lot of those play-action types of, like, a, you know, he's not running a dig or part, like, it's just play-action, one deep post, one over type of routes. And he gets those at full speed, and he does them well.
Now, he didn't have a good Senior Bowl week, and that was, I think, competition that he should have excelled against based on his tools and his traits. And Bobby, what I'm doing every play for him is I'm not, if I'm game planning for Xavier Leggett, I'm like, how are we going to stop him? How are we going to stop him? I'm pressing him every play and I'm trying to slow him down and I'm trying to frustrate him. I don't want him to get going, because when he gets going and when he can kind of outbody you and out physical you, and then the, you know, you have the 50-50 catch opportunity, or even if he can outrun you too, he's not slow. That's where I think he can win. But if I think if I can get my hands on you early, slow you down and frustrate you, that's where I think Leggett is maybe going to have some trouble.
And he's not great with press either for someone his size.
Right.
Like he's got to take on the physicality of like, okay, I'm going to use a gangster release on you. I hate saying that every time it comes up in conversation on the podcast, but he's got to do that stuff. So let's go quick. I don't want to get this over an hour. Justin, the guy who is not, I have not seen mocked in a first round yet in this class that I'm the most confident can be a wide receiver one in the NFL, is UCF's Javon Baker, 6'1", 202 pounds, had over 1,100 yards for UCF this past year. You know, he's been with them for 2 years after transferring from Alabama. He's an ex-wide receiver who I think can win at every level. Like, he's really quick. He tempos and sets up his routes, and he's just got that great plant and go type of burst. And it doesn't always look clean, but he's just got a natural feel for leverage. Right? And that's something like Garrett Wilson taught me. It's like, man, it doesn't have to always look clean, but if he's consistently, like, just has an understanding and quickness for leverage, like, that guy's probably going to be pretty good. And so he does some a lot of good stuff about route running. Here's the thing. He's not the fastest guy in the world, right? Like, his speed is solid, but he doesn't have, like, that pull-away speed, even though I think he's going to be able to win vertically in the NFL. And then he just makes these insane, insane acrobatic catches despite having a high drop rate. So I think this guy, he reminds me of Stephon Diggs. Right? Wow. So, like, Diggs coming into the NFL probably wasn't viewed as, like, the vertical speed threat, but he's able to do that. He's able to make those tough catches and just has a such a natural understanding of leverage.
He's 91st on the consensus board, and Brugler is a fourth-round grade. So what grade do you have on him?
Second. High second. Like, I really like Javon Baker.
He's 22. We interviewed him. Talk about that.
Yeah,
interview.
He was probably our worst interview down there, which does give me a little bit of hesitation.
It does. Kill. His response to over half the questions.
Like, they were
kill.
Funny answers, but it was like,
be a dog.
It's like, are you capable of a conversation?
What's your favorite route? All of them.
Like, what's something that, like, what's your mindset of on third down of, like, how, like, you know, say it's third and six, you got a corner playing at 5 yards. Like, what's your process? Like, just
kill.
Gotta have more dog in you than the other guy. And he plays like that though. So
yeah,
he does play like that. So I don't know how well this guy's head, like, there's no reports or anything, at least not that I've seen, but interviewing him was by far our worst interview in Alabama.
Yeah, it was interesting for sure. You know, hopefully he gets into a room with not.
I hope we draft him and we can just post. We will post that interview.
Yeah, why not? Hopefully it was just, I'm not going to say anything to these two Joe Schmo white guys.
We brought up Julian, who works for UCF, and he, like, didn't have any reaction for that, which I actually like that part the most.
And then Julian,
tell Julian, like, he has no, he does not give two shits about you, buddy.
Julian worked with him, I think, at the Big 12 Pro Day. So, Bobby kind of hit the nail on the head. He was fourth in yards per route run this year, which is really impressive. 22 years old, alters his speed well, 21.9 yards per catch. That was number two in the FBS. 17 yards averaged up to target. That's tied for third in deep catches. Seventh in deep yards, 10.3% drop rate, so drop rate's a little high. And the something that was interesting, though, that he mentioned in the interview, and I saw this in Brugler's write-up, too, talked a lot how he learned a lot from his teammates at Alabama, because he was at Alabama originally, like Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle, then also the corners that he faced as well. I could definitely see this guy, like, you know, being a ball player at the next level, competitive nature and playmaking ability. If this guy is going to keep working and getting better at being more craftier, I think he'd be a solid pro eventually.
Our Buffalo Bills fans want him badly.
Oh, good.
And I could see that being like the perfect. I mean, I mentioned Stephon Diggs be the perfect fit. Last two guys, Justin, Keon Coleman. He is, you know, people are like, oh, dudes, they can contest their catches. Xavier Leggett, they contest their catches. Coleman at 6'3" out of FSU is truly a contested catch guy. Like that is what he does, and he does it really well, but he's below average speed for the NFL.
Yeah.
He's not very quick. And he just doesn't get separation. Like even his route running is just clunky overall. Like he has to become a much better wide route runner at the next level. He can't just live off of the contested catch stuff. But here's the thing, Justin, is like he'll have these yak plays. Like he has a knack to stay up if you run like a screen with him. So you're like, oh, this isn't contested catch guys don't do this. But it's a very weird like thing where it's like the route running is slow, it's clunky, there's, you know, rounded, no sell to it. You know, so you're like, oh, is this Brendan Rice? But it's like, no, you give him yak plays and he does some good stuff. But he is a above the rim type of player.
I do want to mention, you know, we mentioned that the Giants didn't really meet with any other wide receivers, at least top 30 visit wise. The Giants didn't meet with Brendan Rice at the Combine, and they did probably meet with him at the Senior Bowl, but we'll see. 39 on the consensus board, 37th on Brugler. I think, you know, like Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson
are two
guys. I
think that's too high.
It's way too high. I think, though, like, Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson are, like, two guys that, like, no thank you for me. And even
I mean,
Rice,
I think Coleman could be a good player, but Johnny Wilson, I don't. I do not think
Wilson's
going to be a good player in the NFL.
For Coleman, 44th in yards per route run, 57% catch rate, and there are plenty of guys who have a higher average depth of target. That's also a little red flag for me. Separation rate versus single coverage, the percentile is very low at 47th percentile and 53rd percentile. In open rate as well. So you see some flash plays, and yeah, he has strong hands and some spectacular catches. But again, the battle between, you know, a guy that gets separation and a guy that has contested catches, what are you going to prioritize? And at least the last couple of years, I've been prioritizing guys that are getting open, and that's not Keon Coleman's trump card.
The last guy we're going to talk about is Jalen Polk, future Rams wide receiver. 6'1", 203 pounds. 4.5 240 had over 1,100 yards this past year in 15 games, 9 touchdowns. To me, he is my first bullet. It's like smart wide receiver who will add a lot as a role player, zone beater type of wide receiver. Because like the speed is lacking, but man, he just tempos everything, right? Like he has effective releases, but they can take time and just it. Like he is not fat. He's not like running full speed every route. Like he's just kind of setting stuff up, which is good, but it also kind of limits, like he's not going to be an explosive type of player. Someone said Robert Woods. I saw someone say that, and I was like, that kind of stuck in my head. Like that is who he is. And he's a great blocker, you know, natural. Like he's going to be a starter level player in the NFL for a long time, but he's never going to be on Pro Bowl or All Pro lists.
Yeah, and I think that's fine. I mean, for being, you know, consensus 62 and Brugler has him 74 and he's 22 years old. He was 19th in yards per route run. Like, he's a competitor. He's a grinder. I think he has a decent chance to shine at the next level. Body control, strong hands, and he goes up and he gets it. So yeah, that was like his trump card at Washington, but I'm really interested to see how he could transition to the pros because it's not going to be that vertical.
I don't think he's going to get those opportunities.
No,
like, everyone talks about him getting the ball down the field. Like, I don't think he's going to get those opportunities
at
the next
all.
Level. So while there's some good plays doing that, I just don't, like, those plays don't stick out in my head because I just don't see him having the speed and stuff like that to do that consistently.
No, and you know, this is what gives me a little hope. He doesn't separate. He had a 65th percentile in single coverage open rate, and then it just overall open rate 64th percentile. And this is all from PFF, by the way. So it's like, that's what gives me a little hope. He's not all that quick and sudden, but I think he's going to have to be a player where if he commits himself to smarts and, like, especially against zone coverage of knowing
Welcome
where to
Rams.
Sit, knowing where to, knowing where to sit, knowing how to get open and knowing the defense, knowing what the defense is trying to do against you. That's where I think Jalen Polk can really, really be successful. He's a grinded out player. And then every once in a while he can make that contested catch when he needs to. So, maybe he could be like a physical slot. I don't know. Over 200
snaps.
Yeah,
he's like a perfect big slot in the Rams.
Yeah.
Like Like, obviously they have Kupp and Nacua, but Kupp gets injured. Like, he's a, like, if I'm a Rams fan, like, he's the someone I'm targeting in the third round, top of the third round.
I love that.
All right, Justin, that's an episode. Woo! Our draft previews are finished. Talk about grinded out. Those are some grinded out episodes. Basically work 12 hours every single day trying to get these episodes out and get ready for the draft. But it slows down for the next two. The next 2 days are very much like enjoy it, Justin. But then it's right back to the grind. And then we get like a month and a half to chill out a little bit. So I'm excited for it all. I'm excited for you guys to be there with us throughout it all. We appreciate you. Talking Giants versus the damn world. We'll see you for our mock draft episode. Draft day. Until then, my favorite episode. Let's go Big Blue.
Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.